God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. Lord said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. President Trump spoke at the UN and said something that I think is worth clarifying. I obviously can't clarify anything on behalf of the president. He speaks his mind. And he was speaking without a teleprompter. And he was speaking without a teleprompter because I think someone decided to disable the teleprompter, just like I think someone decided to disable the escalator. I think that because on Sunday, the Times of London reported that UN staffers were going to do that, to sabotage him. They know something about President Trump, and I don't know that President Trump knows it. I hope he does. I hope his advisors understand it. I particularly hope Pete Hegseth understands it, and Pam Bondi, in whom I have zero trust. I hope that Kash Patel understands it. I hope that the president's lawyers understand it. I hope that we're going to begin to understand it. I think we're getting there. So Trump had this to say about the UN after the escalator and the teleprompter broke.
I ended seven wars, dealt with the leaders of each and every one of these countries, and never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter. Thank you very much.
I think they were counting on President Trump blue screening, losing his mind, his temper, and flying off the handle. And I think they were hoping for that. And he didn't do that. He handled it quite well as a wartime president. He spoke about ending wars on seven wars. Okay, fair enough. I think he deserves that credit. He's not going to get it, but I think he deserves it. And when he talked about these seven wars he's ended, it's the one he's running now that matters most. On the North American continent. He's a wartime president. Now, this can sound hyperbolic. It can sound, provocative. It could sound like that, but let me try to make my case. Roughly a decade ago, I began to warn about the fact that Antifa was building foot soldiers, that they were recruiting mentally unstable people to be these foot soldiers. They were recruiting them from jails, from prisons. They were recruiting mentally ill people. And the mentally ill people they most commonly recruit are people who have gender defiance, gender disorder, gender dysphoria, gender rebellion, gender refusal, etc. Now, that's a very common tactic. You take someone with a psychosis, like has been done with Mussolini, that has been done with Hitler, and you empower them. Hey, guess what? You're not marginalized anymore. You match that up with professors on our campuses at state-funded universities saying things like this. You're not marginalized or oppressed when you've got the gun in your hand. And I teach my students that violence is necessary sometimes. Put the gun in your hand and you're no longer oppressed. So you combine these two factors, these young kids coming off of unbelievably radicalized college campuses in the separate countries, the West Coast, etc., unbelievably radicalized high schools. And if they're white, they don't want to be oppressors, and so they sign up to be allies. And if they are BIPOCs, which they didn't know until someone told them, hey, you're a BIPOC, and then they are oppressed, and then they need the allies, And so they started practicing elementary street warfare, stabbing police horses with swords hidden in protest signs, rolling marbles out in the street to topple the police horses, building improvised explosive devices to harm the police horses and the police, and then beginning the process of every night fist fighting with cops, hitting them in the back of the head with baseball bats, trying to burn them alive on four or five different occasions. They've tried it in Portland. They've tried it in Seattle multiple times. And then, in fact, getting cops killed and then celebrating that. And then recruiting more people to do it, and then creating offshoot groups like the John Brown Gun Club, which is specifically an Antifa militia, and then aligning themselves with the cartels. Oh, wait, did I say that part out loud? The cartels benefit from these activities because it distracts law enforcement. The cartels are not friends of cops. Antifa, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, John Brown Gun Club, they love the homeless encampments. They hide there. They've got their RVs in these RV cities. They've got their supply of drugs. They've got their supply of foods and walking around monies. President Trump is a wartime president. These attacks, like on the ICE facilities, are going to become more sophisticated. Let's please understand why they're choosing ICE officers. In a country where 40% of Democrats say it's okay to assassinate President Trump, not just okay, that maybe advisable to assassinate President Trump, what percentage do you think it's okay to assassinate people who are taking black and brown people to the death camps? Now, they're not being taken to death camps. These are not concentration camps. That is not what's going on, but they believe it is. What do you think the polls would show if you asked Democrats, is it okay to end the life of an ICE agent who's detaining somebody? What if you used the word kidnapping? What if you said, would it be okay to end the life of an ICE agent who was using a five-year-old autistic girl as bait to get her migrant father to come out of his house? Would it be okay then? That's what NBC News said. They said that's what ICE was doing. That's what Ilhan Omar, who openly hates America, that's what she said. She wants more of this violence. President Trump is a wartime president. These attacks will become more substantive. Right now, they're choosing cops because their base supports it. And they're hoping the rest of the Democrats will say, well, they are Nazis. They are stormtroopers. Sorry, I'm not sad. They weren't sad about Charlie Kirk, so many of them. And he just spoke. He didn't lead armies. He didn't send people to war. And they were happy about that. War begins in the mind. Mao Zedong knew this. So here's what I hope is happening. As we're seeing signs at Georgetown University, Mauling Hemingway drew my attention to this. Andrew Colvett apparently sourced the photo. It says, hey, fascist, catch. The only political group that celebrates when Nazis die. And there's a helpful QR code for the John Brown Gun Club, a member of which attempted to murder ICE agents and detainees in Tacoma, Washington. No, it's not quite Tacoma. Outside of Seattle, Washington, at an ICE facility where he'd placed propane tanks, came out with his rifles and attempted to blow up the propane tanks, and is to this day considered a hero. To this day, you will see his name written on overpasses in Seattle, on walls in Seattle. You'll see him celebrated. One of the things he did before he died in his manifesto, he thanked his so-called trans colleagues, comrades rather, in Transtifa. These are recruiting posters. On Georgetown University, they are recruiting people who want to murder people for speech. President Trump is a wartime president. This revolutionary socialist had this to say on their latest online digital conference.
When it is like getting to a place like LA where they're actively under occupation by the military, like at what point do they arm up? Like to arm themselves
Then is LA under occupation by the military? No. Has it ever been? No. I mean, if you take the Rodney King riots and the 1964 civil rights riots, there were times when the National Guard did put people in to not quarantine, but did lock them down. Are they occupied by the military? No. But they think they are. What he's saying is, when do we start shooting more cops? So the attacks will become broader. They'll become more devastating. They will begin to amp this up because their job is to expand the Overton window of violence. The Overton window is not just a Glenn Beck book. The Overton window is a political theory where bit by bit by bit, you change and expand what you're willing to talk about or able to talk about as a politician. It used to be, for instance, that abortions were safe and rare. Now we shout. You just shout your abortion. It's a sacrament. It's a satanic sacrament, but you are allowed to shout that. Likewise with violence. Right now, they figure it's okay to attack cops, to kill cops and Border Patrol agents because there can be a defense of this. After all, they're literal Nazis. That will ramp up with capabilities as people get more and more comfortable carrying out these acts. And one terrorist wants to do better than the other. One cell, let's say Rose City Antifa in Portland, Oregon, wants to do better than, let's say, Austin's Antifa. Hey, you know what? Why are we taking out cops bit by bit? Why don't we go in with some IEDs and blow up an entire police station? Oh, that can't get done. Really? Ask Bill Ayers. Barack Obama's political mentor, in which he launched his political career. President Trump is a wartime president. On Reddit, 2 weeks prior to the latest shooting of ICE officers and this sad death of these detainees by a left-wing person who comes from a left-wing family, whose mother's a left-winger, apparently, according to media reports and Andy Ngo's investigation. On Reddit, they were already saying, when do we shoot more cops? It's time for people to start blasting. I say ICE agents should be handcuffed with their hands behind their back and given a 10-second head start. Shoot first, ask later. Those are kidnappers. Take them out. These people are findable. Do you remember how quickly CNN was able to find people who went on social media and posted something about mail-in voting not being safe? Do you remember that? I do. I remember when CNN showed up at this house in Montana, I think it was. This poor lady's cooking second breakfast because the men had been out in the field since 4 o'clock in the morning. She's cooking second breakfast and they knock on the door. May I help you? Did you post on Facebook that mail-in balloting's not safe and secure? Who are you? Where was CNN from New York City? Did you post on Facebook? Did you know this is Russian propaganda? Did you know you're helping Vladimir? I'm sorry, I'm cooking second breakfast. President Trump's a wartime president. I hope that Marco Rubio gets this and will push for Antifa to be labeled an international terrorist organization. I hope that Dan Bongino understands this. I think he does. I've heard him speak about it. I hope we're planning to crash these cells. I hope we're going into these networks and finding out who these people are. I hope we're tracking down the funding because you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that the people who fund Antifa are the same people who fund district attorneys who will not prosecute these crimes. There's a phrase for this in leftist organizing. Here's the phrase. Top down, bottom up, squeeze the middle. The top down is these city prosecutors refusing to prosecute crime, our borders being flooded, cartels in sponsorship with terrorist groups. Bottom up are the so-called organizations, community organizations, demanding change. What do we want? Dead cops. When do we want them now? People occupying freeways so folks can't get to work. Bottom up. Top down. Squeeze the middle. Squeeze in the middle to do what? To get people so desperate they'll do anything to feel like their country's okay again. President Trump is a wartime president. And I hope they understand that the clock is ticking up to the point where the attack is more substantive, maybe a railway station, maybe a mall. If they think they can get away with it, they'll do it. Look at the school shootings in Christian schools. Are they lone wolf actors? Okay. Part they're lone wolf drawn from a community that encourages this stuff. And may God forgive them, because only He can sometimes. We'll come back under Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Kind of picking up where we left off in the last segment. President Trump being a wartime president. I'd said that may God forgive the people who are planning these attacks and carrying them out against ICE officers and cops and kids praying in schools. And I mean, of course, sometimes I said only God can forgive. Truly, only God can forgive in the way eternal. You know, we can give things to God. We can forgive in our hearts. And we have to do that. We have to. Because the Lord's Prayer teaches us that. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's a tough one. You know, President Trump being a wartime president with the war here on this continent, a war that is becoming hot for years. For years, I used the phrase cold civil war. And then it was a warm civil war. It's getting warmer. Please don't take this to be despair. It's not. I praise God Almighty for casting light on this. I praise God Almighty for President Trump labeling Antifa a terrorist group. And I understand we're on a Christian radio network. I get it. So let's talk about the spiritual war. It's all spiritual. It all is. It's not a distraction. Antifa, John Grant, Brown Gum Club, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, they have absolutely nothing in line with God. Nothing. They glorify violence and murder. You shall not. Murder. They glorify coveting. Take from people who never held slaves to give to people who never were slaves. Coveting. Theft. They glorify pride. That's an emotion that's a human emotion that God objectively hates. He states it. And yes, it is a spiritual war. President Trump is also a wartime president in a spiritual war. Now, on this front, I consistently say and want to communicate with great respect, everybody starts somewhere in their faith walk. I continue to believe that President Trump is what we, at least in our evangelical church, call a baby Christian, making his way in faith. And I think this was indicative of that when he was speaking at Charlie Kirk's memorial service, and he said about Charlie that Charlie lived his life and loved his Savior. Well, Jesus is also all of our Savior, our only Savior, the only way to be saved. But President Trump is used so often by God to say things that other presidents somehow didn't say. Can you imagine President Mitt Romney saying this? Or President John McCain saying this? Or what's that guy who used to be the governor of the state of New Jersey, big dude? He likes to talk about how RFK Jr. doesn't understand nutrition. No, I'm joking. I know his name. I'm just not going to say it. Just playing the game. Chris Christie. Can you imagine Chris Christie saying this? Maybe Chris Christie. Maybe. Except the topic is faith. So no. Trump rightfully acknowledged Christianity as the most persecuted religion in the world in front of the UN.
Let us defend free speech and free expression. Let us protect religious liberty, including for the most persecuted religion on the planet today. It's called Christianity.
It is the most persecuted religion. Now, you could say, wait, the Jewish people are attempting to eliminate them. Right, Islam is doing that. Hamas is doing that. Certainly, and the UN sponsors that, certainly. And that's physical persecution, is dangerous, genocidal. And there are people who say Benjamin Netanyahu is that. And there's that war, that long-lasting war. May God end it. One does not have to stand with the nation of Israel's government to stand with the Jewish people, with whom God has this special covenant. But in terms of legal, lawfare, persecution, there is no contest. Oh, they'll get due going after Jewish people and the Jewish faith, but right now the focus is on Christianity. So why? Because it's a spiritual war. If you take Antifa, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, John Brown Gun Club, as we talked about in the first segment today, they're anarchists, right? Antifa's anarchists, right? Isn't that what we're told? They're anarchists. Are anarchists going to stand on behalf of the government to lock you inside your house during a flu? Antifa did. Do anarchists stand with, go take their guns away? Anarchists? Antifa does. Do anarchists stand with redistributive policies, take money from people, give it to others? Antifa does. They're not anarchists. They stand with chaos because it serves their ends. They stand against God in all things because they are serving. They don't know this, many of them. So in terms of the Christian faith being the most persecuted, this goes to a spiritual war. Right now, Satan has Israel in this war with Hamas, and Hamas attempting to wipe them out. And Satan thinks he can do this. He can't. We know there's going to be a remnant of the Jewish people who, praise God, come to Christ in the end. We know this. We celebrate it for this reason. We stand with the Jewish people even as we criticize, or can, the state of Israel. You may not. There's policies of the state of Israel I'll criticize, just like I'll criticize our policies. But in terms of being stomped upon, it is the Christian faith. Look at this. Look at some of the trends. There are attempts in states, some that have lost, to make sure that if you are Christian, you cannot adopt kids. I mean, unless you're willing to lie. So if you're a Christian willing to say that a boy is a girl, then you can adopt. But then you run afoul of God. So choose your faith or adopting. Now, that's in the United States. This doesn't get any more clear than it does in the one of the world's oldest democracies, we're told. So at Speaker's Corner in London, a Muslim man had been losing a debate to a Christian. He then reported that man to the UK police.
Your details, if possible.
For doing what?
So this gentleman believes that you've been involved in harassing him, so asking him questions when he doesn't not wish to answer questions.
In Speaker's Corner.
In Speaker's Corner, he appreciates that these things happen, and that's why we're creating a crime report for it, just to look into it. He also says that Cameron's put in his face quite often. He asks him not to be. He tries to walk away.
So let me get this right. A Muslim speaker who goes around the UK speaking for Islam, that man there, Paul Williams, he's reporting me, or has ongoingly reported me for harassment, because in Speaker's Corner, I attempt to confront him by posing questions, even though his cameraman also posted videos labeling it as a debate.
But listen, if there are different allegations, okay, if you've got a counter-allegation to make, then you can absolutely make that.
Well, the counter-allegation would just be that he's wasting police resources and giving false accusations.
That would be a counter-allegation. And it's so fascinating. If you watch the video here, that officer is a probably, I don't think even late 20s young woman. Maybe 26. And empowered to say to another human being, you don't get to ask questions in Speaker's Corner, which is a place specifically designed for robust debate. Note this. That's not the worst example. President Trump is in his position of leading a war, a kinetic war. He better be understanding that he's leading a war, a kinetic war against an enemy, Antifa, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, the John Brown Gun Club, same group, different names, same goal, different fronts. This is going to become more and more outrageous, these attacks, more and more substantive over time. If that's allowed to happen, it should be shut down. RICO investigations, everything they can do to shut it down now. And then there's the spiritual aspect of this. Satan smiles on both fronts if we play along. Now, if we take this as an opportunity to give glory to God, look what God is revealing. Look at the moment God's giving us to harvest. Look at what God did in Charlie Kirk, who I do believe was martyred. I do believe he stood for his faith. I mean, one of the last lines of questioning he was undergoing, the last line of questioning, was about the lies of transgenderism that goes right back to the demon enchantress. Charlie was answering a question about that when he was killed. And I'm not praising God for Charlie's death. I'm praising God for how he's used it. President Trump is leading a kinetic war. I hope he understands that. I hope his team does. And President Trump is in a spiritual war. In one. Is he leading it? I think he's trying to. I think he has a sense of this. To call Christianity the most persecuted faith, it's politically helpful for sure, but it's also a reality, and I hope the president will understand something. You can lead this, sir. You can lead and win the spiritual war on your knees, giving it to Jesus, and calling out things like this. This should shock the conscience. In London, police will threaten to arrest Jews for being in the wrong neighborhood.
You are quite openly Jewish. This is a pro-Palestinian march. I'm not accusing you of anything, but I'm worried about the reaction to you. You've been escorted out of this area so you can go about your business, go where you want freely, or if you choose to remain here, because you are called the breach of peace between you and some other people, you will be arrested.
If I remain here, you will arrest me.
Because your presence here is antagonizing a large group of people, and we can't deal with all of them if they attack you or if they don't think that your presence is
What that officer described, I know that audio is hard to hear, is you can't stand here being Jewish. See, there was a protest on behalf of Hamas in London. And so a lot of people wearing the kafar. And this gentleman showed up wearing a yarmulke. And so the police came and said, you can't be here being all Jewish and stuff. You can be Jewish elsewhere, but you can't be Jewish here. What about them? They're being Muslim here. Well, there's more of them. This is literally the police saying, no, you understand, it's mob rule. Right, now don't you know, it's a new policy it is, right? No, we've just now passed the law, it's mob rule it is, okay? That's what they're saying. If he took the yarmulke off and put on a kafar, then he'd be an enlightened Jew. Then he could stay there, he'd still be Jewish, but he'd be all enlightened. But you can't stand here being really Jewish. In England, it's not just the Christians. Remember when I said they're going to come after the Jewish people as well? Well, it's there. The left is encouraging it. And here we are in this world and not of it. Man, prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. How does that work? You know, someone the other day, as a bit of an agnostic, said to me, do you really think you can pray and change God's mind? And I said, I know. I think we can really pray and get closer to Him. I think we can really pray and know something's going to happen. Know the ability of God. And we'll witness it. I'm praying for my best friend's health. I'll talk about this to some degree tomorrow, but I'm praying for my best friend's health, my best male friend. My wife is my best friend. My best male friend is sick. I'm praying for his health. I'm praying for God to heal him. Now, I know God will heal my friend. I'm just hoping the timeline is something I get to see here on earth. I know I'll experience my friend healed because I know God's going to do that. Now, in the case of nations like England and cities like London, we can pray in abidance with Christ, give our leaders wisdom. If not, give us leaders with your wisdom. God wants leaders who have his wisdom. God wants these things. Prayer is a weapon. How about this? Pray spiritual protection upon ourselves that we not fall into the trap that's being set in this spiritual war, because the trap that's being set is for us to fight back. And there are people who are fighting back. Kinetically, don't do it. Let us fight a spiritual battle in a spiritual sense. And there's people who have mighty, mighty battles coming. There's a woman who's facing prison time in England for something she said. Katie Hopkins read a statement outside Exeter Police Station.
It's Tuesday, the 5th of August here at Exeter Police Station. And I, Katie Hopkins, state as follows. I have attended this interview under protest, as I was threatened with arrest if I did not attend. I consider this interview and the police investigation to be an unlawful interference with my right to freedom of expression pursuant to Article 10 ECHR, Human Rights Act 1998.
She is facing prison time because she held a comedy show on Instagram. A comedy show that offended the powers that be. President Trump is a wartime president, and he has some wartime president tools, such as the Holy Spirit. I pray that President Trump will ask the Holy Spirit to take over his entire government. Prayer is a weapon. I hope that President Trump will pray for guidance on how to fight this war in our nation against, well, Satan, but Satan using the John Brown Gun Club, Satan using Black Lives Matter Incorporated, Satan using Antifa, Satan arranging the funding. I hope that President Trump is on his knees asking the Holy Spirit to guide every step of this war. Prayer is a weapon. I hope that President Trump says, oh, Lord, reduce me. Oh, Lord, come and be the general. Oh, Lord, come and be commander in chief. Oh, Lord, come and be my chief of staff. Oh, Lord, come and lead me. Show us how to fight this, because it is a righteous war against an unrighteous enemy. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to a personal note here. Responses, some emails, and Tower Babbling. A couple of cleanup items. One just kind of coming off the flow of the last segment. We talked about President Trump having the capacity to lead a spiritual war if he gets to his knees and asks the Holy Spirit to run his entire administration, because, man, he's making great steps. It's so, so important to understand the kinetic and spiritual max together. Antifa, John Brown Gun Club, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, all their funders stand against God in every possible capacity. Their attacks are going to become more devastating because they're practicing, they're gaining momentum, they're gaining confidence, they're going to instill in others, you can do better. This must be unwired. We must recognize these people, these groups, as international terrorist groups, because that's very international. And we must treat this as a wartime effort. These are small attacks, but they're getting larger. And they're going to get more sophisticated. On the spiritual front, because it is spiritual, I pray that President Trump will ask the Holy Spirit to run his administration. Now, that's prayer as a weapon. I was thinking about that earlier. That's prayer as a weapon. To surrender. To surrender the entire administration to the Holy Spirit's wisdom. You know, I don't think the days are over where if we're fighting a righteous war, and it is an absolutely righteous war against these groups, where God could lead our hand. I don't think those days are over where Samuel or Moses has their hand above a battle and they're winning. I don't think those days are over. I think we imagine they're over. And I believe God is still saying, hey, I'm still here. I am, in fact, the Lion of Judah. You doubt me? You doubt me? You know, I so often think of that movie, the scene in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that incredible scene where the lion, who is the Jesus character, is agreeing to be led to his slaughter. And they are trying to humiliate the lion, and they've shaved his, or going to go shave his mane. They're going to do all these things to him as they strap him down, and he's headed up. And the witch, the Satan character in that, says something about deep magic. And the lion roars, this fantastic, powerful roar. Don't lecture me about the deep magic witch. I was there when it was born. And all the demon characters shudder. She's terrified. Don't doubt me. I am the Lion of Judah. I hope President Trump will call upon the Lion of Judah through the Holy Spirit to help us be gentle as a dove. And wise as a serpent. Because the spiritual war goes deeper than Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Incorporated, the John Brown Gun Club, Armed Queers of Salt Lake City, the Antifa offshoots that have carried off now three attacks, it appears, in Texas. I mean, there's prosecutions of 12 people connected to Antifa. It goes into the editorial pages of the New York Times. Jacob Honeycutt calls this out on Twitter. There it is, the top comment in an article about Charlie Kirk in the New York Times. This is Greg Gerner, Wake Forest, North Carolina. He left this on his own accord, so he wants it to be public. He writes, I have a religion too. It's called the separation of church and state. Ever heard of it? I am lost as to how that relates to Charlie Kirk, and that Charlie Kirk, in fact, spoke about the separation of church and state in favor of it and also said, let's elect Christian leaders. Let's organize and elect people who follow the Lord Jesus. That's not violating separation of church and state. That's not an official state religion. That is electing people whose faith in the Lord of the universe, the way, the truth, and the life, informs their votes. That's not an official state religion. It's a movement to elect people who respect the Lord Jesus and then respect and follow the Lord Jesus and then respect and follow our Constitution because it's the law of the land. And we're back to Romans 13, the favorite and least favorite part of Scripture for many conservatives. One other cleanup item here. when memes can describe entire societal dynamics, the societal dynamics are pretty out of whack. I saw memes going around with President Trump making a statement, do not put plastic bags on your face, and a whole bunch of liberals with plastic bags on their faces. So the videos, have you seen these videos of pregnant women eating Tylenol? I didn't say taking, I said eating, pouring it down their throats. You're going to take my acetaminophen away? Right now, I'm going to pour this into my baby's body through the mouth of my own mouth. I'm going to bore this down. And they're gobbling Tylenol. Tylenol, incidentally, says we don't recommend our products for pregnant women. Actually, no. Pardon me. Tylenol said we don't recommend our products for pregnant people. Because Tylenol wants to pretend men can be pregnant. Or wants to pretend to think that. They know that's not true, but they're pandering. They also said we've never tested our products on pregnant people. Want to know why they haven't tested it? Can anyone guess? I mean, if you're testing something, it's because you want to know, right? Maybe they don't want to know. If only there was a way to discover the potential harms from acetaminophen. If only there was a way. My wife is a very smart woman. She's been under pharma for years. Praise God for that. She's protected our daughter against pharma in forms of these mass vaccinations. She has gotten our daughter off of pharma when I largely made the mistake of allowing her on antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. Praise God for my wife. My wife has this device, and I'll tell you about it. Ready? It's called the Google Machine. She went to this thing called the Google Machine and she searched acetaminophen deaths per year. Boom! Answers. Approximately 500 people die each year in the United States from acetaminophen poisoning, leading cause of liver failure, liver damage, liver transplants, high mortality rate, hospital visits, intentional versus unintentional overdoses, 56,000 emergency room visits, 2,600 hospitalizations because of acetaminophen toxicity. Acute liver failure, the mortality rate can increase to 28%. It accounts for about 20% of all liver transplants. Acetaminophen? 20% of liver transplants? This is from the Google Machine. This is the Google Machine that brags about being censored by government. Oh no, they confessed to Jim Jordan that they gave in to censorship. Maybe that's changing. If so, praise God. That's the cleanup item. Now, on this program, we do something that sometimes is frustrating or difficult. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
More than half of this country voted for the criminal, still trying to figure out what happened.
Three Three soundbites in today's Tire Babbling that is almost always our want. Soundbite number one, Rachel Maddow dubbed Kamala Harris a patron saint of?
Let me talk to you about this capitulation thing.
Yep.
This really landed with me. I feel like we're all in the middle of it. But you articulating it in the way that you do, you've become the patron saint of I told you so, in terms of people understanding the sort of warnings and predictions that you made about what Trump would be like. But you say, I predicted all of that. I warned of it. What I didn't predict was the capitulation, the billionaires lining up to grovel, the big media companies, universities, so many major law firms, I will note, including your husband's.
Yeah, and he spoke out about it.
He's been very vocal in criticizing it.
She predicted that President Trump would do what he said he would do. Wow. That's pretty cool for a Democrat presidential nominee to predict that the president she fought against would do what he said he would do. And we'd see the predictable results. He said he was going to go after the Mockingbird media. He is. Are they capitulating? Okay. Why? Because they don't want to go through discovery. They do not want the DOJ lawyers to get a look at their emails. Because I believe their emails would show, of course, they're conspiring against President Trump. And I contend there's a profit motive to it. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Kamala Harris explained why she didn't pick Mayor Pete as her running mate.
I guess I'd ask you to just elaborate on that a little bit. It's hard to hear.
Yeah.
With you running as, you know, you're the first woman elected vice president. You're a black woman and a South Asian woman elected to that high office, very nearly elected president. To say that he couldn't be on the ticket effectively because he was gay is hard to hear.
No. That's not what I said. That he couldn't be on the ticket because he is gay. My point, as I write in the book, is that I was clear that in 107 days, in one of the most hotly contested elections for president of the United States, against someone like Donald Trump, who knows no floor, to be a black woman running for president of the United States, and as a vice presidential running mate, a gay man, with the stakes being so high, it made me very sad, but I also realized it would be a real risk. No matter how, you know, I've been an advocate and an ally of the LGBT community my entire life. So it wasn't about any prejudice on my part, but
that
we had such a short period of time, and the stakes were so high. I think Pete is a phenomenal, phenomenal public servant. And I think America is and would be ready for that. But when I had to make that decision with 2 weeks to go, you know, and maybe I was being too cautious. You know, I'll let our friends, we should all talk about that. Maybe I was. But that's the decision I made. And I, as with everything else in the book, I'm being very candid about that.
Yeah, let's stop that. So here's the funny thing. The further she explained that it wasn't because Pete Buttigieg is same-sex attracted, the more it became clear it was because Pete Buttigieg was same-sex attracted. That's why she's a repeat performer in the Tower Babbling. Soundbite number three, Kamala Harris seems to think she almost beat Trump in the 2024 election.
And by the way, another piece of what is unprecedented and a bit historical about that race, it is the closest presidential race in the 21st century in terms of the outcome.
You know, say that again, because he likes to say over and over again he's got a mandate.
And that's part of why I wrote this book.
A, you probably didn't write it. B, you lost the Electoral College 312 to 226, and you lost the popular vote by 2 million votes. So, no. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
I want to be clear that, like, law enforcement isn't to prevent crime. Law enforcement solves crime, okay? That is what they are supposed to do. They are supposed to solve crimes, not necessarily prevent them from happening.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, Jeffrey from Connecticut writes, Dear Todd, I listen daily on the AFR app. I enjoy your delivery and the program and the thoughts you put into things. And I just was moved to write you to ask, how do you care for your personal safety? I heard you address that you think you're not a big target and therefore are not going to be someone who's subject to the assassination culture revealing. I beg to differ. I've been listening to you since the days you filled in for Rush Limbaugh, and I've noticed some things. I see other people now saying Mockingbird Media. I see other people now referring to what you did early on as wrong sex hormones, even mutilation surgeries. I remember when you first spoke those words, I thought they were incredibly extreme until I thought about it and I realized, just as you said, they're incredibly blunt and accurate. I've noticed more people now addressing some of the topics you've addressed for quite a while. So I believe you have more influence than you give yourself credit for. Maybe it's just the insiders who don't want to give you credit for this, but Todd, I hope you're caring for your personal safety. I'm not saying you're a target, but given some of the sea changes you've caused, such as having parents read the sex ed curriculum into the record on school board meetings, those of us who watched you do that on Rush's show know that was a result of what God let you do on that platform. Please take care of your personal safety. Jeffrey from Connecticut. Jeffrey, thank you for the note. And praise God, if any of this, anything I've done has ever helped in any way, praise God. And number two, I am indestructible till God says otherwise. If he removes shield of protection, he will have made that decision. Number three, I am not a soft target. I will leave it at that. I am not a soft target. This isn't the first time I've been through this. And also, and lastly, I don't believe I am on some big list. Most important to all of this is God is in control. Know that. Until God says otherwise, we'll continue to do this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God grants us permission to speak again together, may his peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Devin today in AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.